Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thank you for tuning in and catching our drift. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
Good afternoon. Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey.
Crazy week, right?
Always is.
Isn't it? We say this every week. This is a wonderful, wacky world we live in.
Yeah, I don't know about wonderful, but...
Well, it's got to be a silver lining somewhere, and we will explore that possibility today.
Really?
Yes, but today's sponsor for this half hour will be The Current, C-O-U. RANTonline.com or CourantOnline.com. Current newspaper. If you want to get into the February edition, which is our Valentine's edition, you can give a holler at 734-629-6010 or go to CourantOnline.com or email me, Gary, at The Daily Drift, which you can also send your comments for today's show to. If you don't feel like calling in, 734-822-1600. Your views and commentary are as welcome as any views that the Drake and I propose. So, how about them jihadis? Huh?
Where do you start?
Where do you start? You're just out. I've got nothing left. There's nothing left in me.
I mean, it's been nonstop for 24/7.
Yeah, you know, worse than probably what the jihadis have done is the way the United States is reacting. Now, to update, we've seen that the Europeans are kind of getting into this full bore. They see what happened, and they said, the heck with that. Let's go out and start arresting people. And in Belgium, they jumped in and prevented an attack on police by arresting three, I think they killed one of them, jihadis who were fully armed and ready to go to task, you know, on the police there. And come on, it's Belgium. Of all the places, they got great chocolate. Why would you attack Belgium? Is that against the Quran, too? No chocolate? No snowmen and no chocolate.
Well, it depends on how many Muslims are concentrated in pockets there, so they gin up their mentality of jihad. I mean, I bet a lot of them don't even really know what they're fighting for. They just want to kill.
Yeah, well, I can assure you there should not be any fatwa against chocolate because I read the Quran and I didn't see anything.
And the capital of the phony entity known as the EU is there in Brussels.
Yeah.
So.
You don't like the EU? You think they're going
to
kick out
Greece?
To me,
the EU is a joke. Just like NATO has become. But see, here's the thing with Europe, and like, let's take France in particular. And again, I think I've stated this before, but the French are actually in many ways much more aggressive and proactive.
Yes.
Against the war on Islamic terrorists than we are.
Yeah.
And they have the secular rules in place where you can't go walking around in this Islamic garb, whereas we don't have that here. They're much more aggressive in deportations, which were totally lackadaisical and lame here. We, you know, over there, you know, they'll deport you. Here, we make the argument that our immigration system is broken. So let's just cave. That's translation. Let's just cave and let everybody in because they're coming anyway, and we have done nothing to stop them. And the ones that are already here, well, it's just, you know,
yeah. What's
too
amazing
much effort
is
to do anything about that.
In Paris, they're not even allowing them to build mosques anymore. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah,
but that's a good example of my point is that. But what really kills me though is, and this was especially true during the Bush administration, is that when we did try to get a little tougher and take the gloves off and did some things as far as intel and surveillance, well, who are the first ones to bash us?
Yeah.
The French.
The French.
We open up Guantanamo. Who bashes us? The French. You know, the French are much more known in their very recent history for torture than we ever will be. During the Algerian War, when the Algerian War of Independence or Liberation, if you will, when it was a French colony.
Or their music.
The French were torturing nonstop. That was part of their protocol.
Yeah,
well, so that's the thing. That's a problem.
We have a love-hate relationship with the French.
Yeah, their hypocrisy is what really, get this, galls me.
Oh, dude, that's terrible. Well, before we go any farther, because we already got phone calls starting to come in, what we do here on The Drift is we talk about the news of the week, which will include this jihadi, the most recent jihadi nonsense that these crazy Muslims are doing. And you can go to thedailydrift.com and catch up on these stories that I put on there every day for you. Go read them. Go to thedailydrift.com. Doggone it, I spend time gathering that information for you. Please go to thedailydrift.com and share it on your Facebook or your Twitter or Google. There's a Google share. I don't even know what that is. I've starting to understand it, but I don't quite understand all of it.
I'll paraphrase the line from Animal House. Come on and join the Daily Drift. Don't cost nothing.
Don't cost nothing. It doesn't cost nothing. It's free.
It's free.
I work for you, the listener, for free every day of the week.
Not even for food. It's totally free.
Yes. Well, there might be some Las Vegas roll coming within the next hour. But all right. Well, let's take a call from Ken Livonia. Ken's got a comment about the jihadis. Ken, Happy New Year. I haven't talked to you. So how was your holiday? And
oh, the holiday was just fantastic. And I'm looking outside, and the snow is starting to melt a little bit. So that's a good thing.
Hey, Ken, real quick before you address the subject at hand, Mitt Romney looks like round three. What do you think there, buddy?
Well, I think it's just another sign of stupidity that is running through the Republican Party and their ranks. I mean, as we've seen in the past, the conservatives as a whole, we've just about had it. You know, we didn't turn out for Romney last time, and are we sure not going to turn out if he was to run again?
He does promise.
They've just lost their marbles.
He does promise to repeal Romney Care.
Yeah, right. And you believe that?
Yeah, he did say if somebody good runs, he won't run. I'm kind of hoping maybe he's just pushing somebody else to run. But I mean, who do we have? Let's face it. Who's really out there that I could get excited about?
Yeah, that's the thing.
You know, the ones I get excited about are just really not electable because they're a little farther to the right than the average Joe wants to go. So,
yeah, well, I keep bringing up we need a warrior in the White House. And this Ryan Zinke, former SEAL Team 6 commander, is a freshman congressman from Montana. I don't know a lot about him. I know he's a Republican. He's for gun ownership.
He was on Fox this morning, dude.
He's a very successful businessman. He's done a lot of things.
Yeah, so he was on Fox this morning, and that's what these Republicans need to do. They need to get their face out on Fox and CNN and MSNBC with a good message, avoid the pitfalls, and stick on message. So
I want to. And if he's a traditional establishment Republican, I don't care. He's a former SEAL Team 6 commander. Man, that weighs heavily with me on the positive side. But anyway, sorry, Ken.
Yeah, Ken, go ahead on your jihadi comments.
Well, if we really want to deal seriously with the Islamic threat that is in front of us, we've got to deal with it with facts, and people don't want to deal with facts. First, we have to take a look at what they teach. And what they teach is crystal clear. It is not peaceful whatsoever. It is death and violence. I mean, we got over 1,400 years of history to prove the fact that those who are devout followers, those who follow the Quran as it's written, those who follow the teachings as it's written, are a threat to civilization. They have no room whatsoever for tolerance of anyone who isn't one of them. And that's a fact, and a lot of people want to hide their heads in the sand, bury it 10 feet under the dirt. We have to deal with facts. Nazism, it's an ideology. And we can analyze and understand that there's no such thing as moderate Nazis. And that the same thing has to be shown with Islam. You can't have, it doesn't exist, the concept of moderate Muslims. And before, unless we accept the fact of that, we can't deal with it.
Yeah, well, I will couch that by one thing, because I've had some kind of, I actually work with a guy who married into an Albanian Muslim family. Now, let me qualify this. They call themselves Muslims, okay? But they don't go to mosque. They don't pray every day. They follow few of the tenets of the Quran, so none of that crazy stuff. And I don't know if this is just part of Albania or whatever. He said they also kind of worship Mother Teresa, which is a strange thing because Mother Teresa is from that
Albanian
area. Yes.
She was born in Albania.
Yes. And so there are those who are kind of like Catholics who don't practice the strict Catholicism. There are people who consider themselves culturally Muslim but do not practice the tenets of the Quran and Sharia as the rest of us. So there are, I don't know that you can call them moderate Muslims.
We have to separate those individuals who are Arabic and focus on the fact of devout, true followers of the faith.
Yes, I would agree with you there. If you are a true follower of Islam and you follow the straight dictates of the Quran and Sharia, you're not moderate by any stretch of the imagination.
And they're the first to tell you that. I mean, yes. Not only through their actions, but their words.
Yeah.
You know, they will kill their own so-called fellow Muslims as well.
Yeah.
One thing
and
I hear people make a comment of, and it's a comment based on stupidity and ignorance of facts, is that, well, the Christians 500 years ago, they had a reformation, and so Muslims need a reformation. Well, excuse me, the reformation brought the Christians closer to the Bible to follow the Bible as it's written, and not to follow what man has to say. If you do that to Islam, you bring people closer to the Quran. You bring people closer to what Islam teaches. Well, there again, Islam teaches the extermination of the infidel. So you can't have a reformation of Islam. What you need to do is you need to bring out the facts. And there again, Islam, based on its own teachings, is not compatible with the teachings of our own country, our own principle.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if any time in the history of mankind in the world that a country under attack will actually purposely, knowingly send money to its attackers. For example, Pakistan. For example, Saudi Arabia. Now, Pakistan, they don't make squat. There's nothing there that we need, want.
Call centers.
You know, rugs, maybe. But, you know, where we send billions of dollars over the years to our enemy.
You know,
well,
I think
what we see going on now with our own president is clearly he's in league as far as ideology with the enemy. Prove my point when they had their uprising in Egypt. Obama sided with the Muslim terrorists against the government that wasn't a threat with us. Libya, same thing. He sided with the Muslim terrorists. In Iran, when they had a uprising of actually good people, Obama did nothing. And they're now in Syria. There are no moderate Muslims in Syria. The Christians who are still in Syria, such as the Orthodox Church, clearly, correctly identified, there are no moderate Muslims in this country. The moderate Muslims, as Obama likes to call the Syrians, who are we are now training, we are now funding, are slaughtering the Christians.
Yeah, that's going to come around and bite us in the end. I'm just amazed that we got the stupidity that we do. Well, Ken, great points. We got to run into a break. And
hey, let me ask Ken this, because I wrestle with this all the time with frustration. You mentioned Egypt, and Mubarak was definitely not our enemy, and he was in power for about 30 years. And sure, you know, he was able to maintain power probably to a certain degree because of an alliance with the United States. I don't say that's a bad thing whatsoever based on the alternative that we've seen. But Ken, what do you say to our so-called allies in Western Europe, the French, for example, the Germans, the Brits, people that not only the leaders, but the people that live there that say, oh, America's supporting dictators around the world, and that's the reason that you have these problems, for example, Mubarak. And it seemed like we almost kind of caved to our so-called ally pressure to just let it fall out and let it happen.
Well, I'd rather support a dictator who's not a threat to the United States of America than to side with someone that is a threat.
But these morons over there that supposedly are part of NATO and an alliance with us, who crucify us in the media and say how we're the real evil because we support dictators, are they really our allies?
Well, I don't think so. I don't think the Europeans really are. I mean, the French in World War II. I mean, what do? They pretty much sat it out.
Or sided with the Germans outright, the Vichy French.
Yeah, and the British, I mean, if it wasn't for them being weak-kneed, you know, they never would have, I mean, they caved into the Germans without a shot, really.
Right.
Yeah, so I guess what I'm getting at is, you know, we have the jihadists and all that, but I hate to use the word so-called, our fake allies are part of the problem.
Well, we have got to do a better job in this country of defending ourselves first. I mean, the Europeans, you know, hey, you know, take care of yourselves. We got to worry about our own sakes first.
Yeah, well, don't leave to others what you ought best do yourself. That's a true fact.
Yeah, and the Europeans, as far as a big part of this war is the information war, the propaganda that the enemy levies against us, and they're very effective with it. The Europeans are right there, basically, with the jihadists and the anti-American slurs and slams and criticisms that is always ongoing.
Well, yeah. Don't forget the Europeans are responsible for opening the gates to let the wolf into the hen house,
yeah,
starting in Islam. I mean, there again, we have over 1,400 years of history. This is what really blows my mind. We have that many years of history to show that these people are a threat. And yet, what do? We open the gates here in America. We let them in. The Europeans, what do? They open the gates. They let them in. I mean, like I said, not only do we have their own writings to verify my point, but we have history there again to verify my point. When the United States, when we first were formed, what did we have problems with? The Muslims. And so here's a group of people that have been an enemy of ours as a society for hundreds and hundreds of years, for over 1,400 years, and we're stupid enough, like I said, to let the fox in the hen house.
Hey, Ken, you reminded me of something very important that I wanted to bring up on the show. Do you remember not too long ago, within the last 10 years, there was a great, massive agitation to allow Turkey into the EU? Can you imagine if that had come about?
Yeah, that would have been a real problem for the EU. I mean, they're a real problem right now.
Well, one quick reminder, too, about Turkey. Now, Turkey used to be the Byzantine Empire, a great Christian empire. Muslims came in, they slaughtered all the Christians, and they took over the land that we call Turkey. And every Christian that's out there listening, when you look at the modern map today, you see the city of Istanbul. Well, never call that Istanbul.
Constantinople.
It's Constantinople. Mm-hmm. And we should always refer to it as Constantinople because Turkey is a invaded territory.
But if Turkey had been allowed into the EU, which they were pushing for and many Europeans were pushing for and saying if you don't let them in, then it's racism, it's bigotry, blah, 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 you would have had a migration from the Muslim world a billion times greater into Europe.
Well,
than,
there again,
than
not only here in the United States,
yeah,
but Europe.
Floodgates.
Floodgates would have been open.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, here in America and in Europe, we've got to take our safety seriously. These people are not our friends. They have never been our friends. They never will be our friends. They are a threat. And unless we deal with it with facts, we're going to lose.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Ken. Appreciate the phone call, as always. Interesting, and good to hear you bring some of these points up. Thanks for the call.
Take care.
Yeah. Why? And I think I just saw this the other day. The biggest population of immigrants coming into the country right now, Muslims.
I think that that's the case all over the world for countries like Australia. You know, they're constantly turning back boatloads of people coming from all these various Islamic countries.
Yeah.
And they got into a lot of trouble because Australia, they finally came to the decision that once we let them in here, even if we just put them in internment camps until we figure out who they are, it's too late.
Yeah.
So they actually opened up a camp in Papua New Guinea, and they got all kinds of abuse for that. Because that's kind of like, all right, we're not going to let you here, but we're going to pay Papua New Guinea, a former colony of Australia, I believe, and we're going to open up a camp there, and we'll keep them there until we figure out who they are. And there was abuse from the press toward the Australians for that.
Yeah. You, you have to control your immigration. You really do. Because if you just let it open, let anybody in and don't have any controls, and honestly,
it's surrender.
It's surrender because you're just letting your country no longer assimilate new people in. You're being overrun
by people who don't want to assimilate.
Yes. And they certainly don't value our values. You know, they don't believe in the Constitution. They want the Sharia. They want their law. You know what? Go back to where you came from if you're not willing to come and enjoy the freedoms we have
here. Yeah, and that's the American mindset is, why are you here? Toward any nationality, if you're going to come here and rip on us and complain and not assimilate, why are you here? But I think we have to get past that, because I'm guilty of that feeling of go home then, or go back to your origins. But we have to get past that mindset and realize that this is part of their warfare strategery.
Yeah.
Tactic.
You do have to. And I want people to know, because I'm sure there are people saying, oh, that Gary's just a hate monger. You know,
no,
you guys are just hate mongers.
We want to get along.
Absolutely. I understand that there are some people who may be Islamic or Muslims or call themselves Muslim who are like our moderate Catholics. They don't follow the tenets.
They just want to come live their life.
They want to live their lives. They may go to mosque once a year, whatever it is, but they don't wear the hijab, they don't wear the burqas. There are those people. So let's be clear that we're not saying we hate all Muslims. I don't.
There's many variations.
It's not black and white. Yeah. There's a lot of them who... But
if you're an ISIS, Al-Qaeda Muslim, yes.
Yes.
You're somebody that should not be here. Yeah.
And part of the problem is those people who are that soft, say they want to be Muslims, but they're not following the dictates, they need to speak up and say, you know, hey, I'm here, and I love America, and I love freedom, and I don't want that Sharia stuff around my daughter and son.
Yeah, because otherwise we would go there and stay there. That would hopefully be the case, but that's not the case,
yeah,
though.
And if
sadly,
we have somebody like that, please call the show and let us know that you're out there, because you know what? We're trying to defend those of you who are. I mean, I try to. I try not to paint everybody with the broad stroke. You know, and I know you. You and I both sometimes get a little carried away on the show. But you know what? You're a good guy. And so am I. We don't hate anybody.
No. You know? I want peace and tranquility.
Yes.
I really do. You know, we were saying that, you know, you wouldn't want your son or your daughter being exposed to the Sharia or have to, if you're here. And that's why you're hopefully here, is for freedom. But how many times in, say, Great Britain, for example, do you hear that a Muslim Pakistani family that's lived there for years and years, or maybe even generations, is trying to send their daughter back to Pakistan for a prearranged marriage?
Yeah, to get the dowry or whatever it is.
And to live under these brutal laws that women are subjected to.
That is so selfish. And we're going to play this next half hour. Sean Hannity, love him or hate him, Sean Hannity did a great interview this week with Amjen Chowdhury. You know who I'm talking about. He's that British Islamic advocate. And he's just a complete douche. He is a
Chowdhury, the chowder head?
Yes. He is a hater of all that is non-Islam. And we're going to play a long clip of him, because I think it needs to be played. And Hannity did a great job. And it's that kind of stuff I think we need to see. So I want people who don't watch Fox News to hear this bit of the interview. And you can see Hannity's working hard. You give him credit. He put this guy that he hates, he literally hates this guy, but gave him airtime so that people could see what this true Islam. And let's not, when we hear Obama and Kerry and Howard Dean talk about these people aren't Muslim, yes, they are. They are the true Muslims. They are the absolute true Muslims, and they...
Self-proclaimed.
And it is what they believe. It doesn't matter what we believe. It matters what they believe, because they're following those beliefs and cutting the heads off people and promoting Sharia and killing cartoonists. Yeah, you may disagree with the cartoon, but... He's a cartoonist, and in France or America, it's freedom.
You know, this discussion about who the real Muslim is, shortly after 9/11, in the Arab world, the Palestinian world, for example, you saw the dancing in the streets, the celebration of it.
Even in Dearborn.
Yeah. But then at the same time, when the United States put the finger on Osama bin Laden, these very same Muslims are arguing that, no, he would never do that. That's un-Islamic. That's a lie. The Israelis did it.
Yeah.
The Jews did it. So it's like, you're celebrating the attack, yet you're at the same time claiming it's un-Islamic. What sense does that make?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, we will see you on the other side of the break.
Blaze Radio News. I'm Kay Long. One of the gunmen carrying out last week's attacks, killing 17 people in France, buried in an eastern French city. Saeed Kouachi buried overnight at the demand of the French government. The city objecting to the burial out of concern the grave could become a shrine for terrorists. Kouachi, the elder of two terrorist brothers, gunning down 12 people at the offices of a French satirical magazine. Former CIA director and Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta warning about the possibility of terrorist attacks here in the United States. Panetta saying the terrorists reaching a new level.
And what has happened in Paris, what happened in Ottawa, what has happened in Belgium is something that we need to understand that these terrorists are now engaged in a much more aggressive effort based on their recruiting, based on what's happening in Syria and Iraq and Yemen. They are engaged in a much more aggressive effort to conduct violence, not only in Europe, but I think it's a matter of time before they direct it at the United States as well.
Panetta appearing on CNN. Police in Florida investigating a fatal shooting at the Melbourne Square Mall. The suspected gunman reportedly dead after wounding two people in the mall's food court. Witnesses saying the gunman shoots himself after firing several shots. The complex and the mall now closed. The issue of gay marriage may finally be decided this year. The Blaze Radio's Tom Peace with more.
The Supreme Court will hear challenges to gay marriage bans in some states. The cases will be heard in late April, and a final decision is expected by late June. The key issue before the justices is whether gay couples have the right to marry under the Constitution. The Supreme Court opened the door for gay marriage by striking down the Federal Defense of Marriage Act in 2013. Gay marriage is now legal in more than 30 states.
The Blaze Radio's Tom Peace reporting. This is news on the Blaze Radio Network Truth.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Family Life Services Clinic and Pregnancy Center, 2950 Packard Road in Ypsilanti, is in need of diapers at the center to give to clients who cannot afford them. To learn more about the Family Life Services Clinic and Pregnancy Center, including drop-off hours for diapers, call 734-434-3088 or visit women-helping-women.net. Wigs for Kids provides custom fit, age-appropriate wigs at no cost to Michigan children who are experiencing hair loss as a result of cancer treatment and other medical conditions. To learn more about how your contribution can make a difference in the life of a Michigan child, please call Wigs for Kids at 586-772-6656 or visit www.wigsforkids.org. That's Wigs, the number 4, kids.org. The Alzheimer's Association has launched two free resources for families impacted by Alzheimer's disease. The Alzheimer's Association's Alzheimer's Navigator is an online tool to help caregivers and people with dementia evaluate their needs, identify action steps, and connect with local programs and services. The other free resource, ALZ Connected, is powered by the Alzheimer's Association and is the first social networking community designed for people living with Alzheimer's and their caregivers. For more information on Alzheimer's disease or available resources, visit alz.org or call 800-272-3900.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham! Talk 1600. In touch with your community. You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
Pleasure.
And we're talking about Islam and jihadi terrorists in Europe and how the Europeans are going after them. They're not sitting on their hands waiting for the next thing to happen. They've got France has got 10,000 troops on the ground throughout the country. Belgium has troops on the ground, prepping sites.
Why does it take a brutal attack like that to do this? Why couldn't this have been done all along?
Or why haven't we done it, even though there was 17 people killed in Fort Hood? And all the attacks we've had under the Obama administration, and we still stick our heads in the sand.
And let's also, you know, make it clear that probably the reason some of these roundups and raids are taking place is because of intel. And you have to have a certain amount of, as we know, NSA-type activities. I'm sure the NSA is sharing intel with our European, quote, allies so that they can make these raids.
Right.
And that's why I get so bent out of shape when I hear all these just wide brush attacks on the NSA.
Mm-hmm.
As I, you know, I've defended the NSA for the most part, saying, you know, I'm willing to have a little bit of privacy and that type of thing if it's, you know, compromised, if we can prevent some of this stuff we're seeing now.
Yeah. Well, let's take a quick call from Walter before we take a look at that audio from Hannity. Walter, welcome to the show.
Welcome back, Walter. How you doing? How you guys doing, man?
Hey,
good
Walter.
To have you back, man.
Yeah, this your black conservative friend again. But look, man, I've been keeping up with all these headlines of all these people getting together in France in solidarity to fight against Islam. But I just heard on the radio program this morning that everybody was invited, but a true conservative, you know, like conservative people to help out in that march. I don't know if you guys heard anything about that or not.
Invited to where, Walter?
That big solidarity march in France with all the world leaders coming together except Obama. He didn't show up at it
and all that.
Well, I heard the word was he stayed home to watch the NFL playoffs.
He couldn't watch that. He couldn't watch that on Air Force One.
Buddies.
Yeah.
Here.
Well, I'll agree with you, Walter. I believe, and you know what? There is a fact. When he was adopted by Satoru, I can't remember the guy's first name, his stepfather, and was raised in Indonesia, he was signed into a madrasa in Indonesia. You couldn't go to school in Indonesia unless you were a Muslim.
Indonesia has the most Muslims in the whole world.
Yes, and he was signed in, and the registration papers are available online. You can see it. He was signed in as a Muslim. And I firmly believe that Barack Obama is a Muslim, and if he is no longer a Muslim, then he's apostate, right? Which means he is the enemy. So he's either the enemy or he's undercover.
Yeah, he's off.
He's undercover brother.
He's undercover brother. That's
he's the other cover, undercover Muslim brother. You got it. Go ahead,
Walter. Not only that, he's remember, he was in Jeremiah Rome's church for 20 years. And I wouldn't say that they're 100% Muslims themselves when he's in that church. I say he's a sympathizer of Muslim. I think he likes their religion, likes their culture and all of that. He has proven it. He loves the enemies of America and dictators and people he studied, who's his role models and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't call Jeremiah right. He can be reverend, whatever he wants to be. I would not call him a true Christian. I will not.
He's not a true Christian.
Not a true Christian.
Anytime you bash America and put down whites nonstop, that the Bible says you're a hater and says no hater will inherit the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Okay, because I know my Bible. But one of the main things I called about was, I don't know if you guys know aware of this Christian station on TCT. It comes on regular TV. It comes on every day, probably almost 24 hours. It's ABN, 18-4. And they have former Muslims on there that have become Christians, and they are exposing Islam to the T.
Now, that's good.
And they got a law called Kofar. I don't know if you guys heard of it. It's either Kofar or Kofar. And the former Muslims can tell you that it means that they're allowed in their religion to lie and deceive. That's why you see these Muslim clerics coming on these local TV stations, ABC, NBC, Marks are being called the other one, MSL, HD, and all the rest of them. They can come on there, and those news people just eat them up. Okay, yeah, okay. There's moderate Muslims, all right. Well, we got the truth from you guys, and these are these Muslim clerics speaking for Islam, and they're lying through their teeth, man.
Well, like Bush at the White House, he brought them all in, too.
Yeah, yeah.
After 9/11.
I'm sure he has some regrets on that, too. But you're right, Walter. And what was that station again? Is that ABN? Was that a...
It's ABN. It's a part of the TCT... Christian network, and they have four different channels that you can choose from.
It's probably those extreme Christians.
ABN, the Albanian broadcast network.
Exactly. And these are former Muslims that's on there. They don't pull no punches when it comes to exposing Islam. And they say there's no way in the world we should have like not one of them in our military because they would turn on you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And for Pelosi to nominate the second of two Muslims in Congress and put him, and people wonder why there's an outcry. Are you sure you really want this guy involved in the top intelligence for our country if he's a sympathizer with Islam, which wants the destruction of America?
Back to what you guys were saying with Ken. Ken was excellent this morning. But I was Ken. You know, I've heard Ken on different radio stations. Either with Ken, he's either black or white. That's what I like about him. But the part about what you guys mentioned, you stole my thunder when you said that those when we got blowed up on 9/11, man, it was in the streets of Dearborn doing the Arab disco and everything else. Probably doing the moonwalk, Michael Jackson moonwalk and everything else. When we got blown up, should have been hauled up and one-way ticket out of this country when they were doing that.
They were doing the Tay-Tay.
Yeah. I'm with you, Walter, because you know what? I'm hoping in Europe that they're rounding these people up. And knowing Europe, they're probably going to house them and feed them and treat them better than ever in a prison somewhere. I think, frankly, these people should be rounded up, put them on a plane with the zip tie, and drop them off in the desert there and say, you know what, go east and you'll find your ISIS friends, give them a bottle of water and a box lunch, and go. And get rid of them. Get them out. And there's no coming back. I think, frankly, we should be quarantining that part of the world and saying, you know what, you want to come here, we're going to put you into an internment camp and investigate you, and if you're okay, we're going to let you in. If not, you're going back.
That's right. Be a boy in the stand.
Well, yeah,
add it to the stands.
That's right.
You know, George Bush, the problem is we got these backstabbing Republicans and all the rest of them. You know, as far as I'm concerned, they're the biggest crooks around, the ones that we have, like John Boehner and the rest of them. And some of them got enough religion to last at breakfast. They don't know nothing about no Bible.
You know,
George Bush called them the religion of peace, and he probably still believes. And I don't know, as far as George Bush, I didn't lost respect toward George Bush. I used to like him. Man, you can't even get that clown to say one critical word about Barack Obama when he's been put on these news programs.
Yeah.
Well, in his defense, if there is one, he says that it's the respect for the office and he's not going to criticize, no matter who it is, you know, all the abuse and the jokes and everything he took from former presidents and officials. He says he's not going to lower himself to that level, and he thinks the office should be dignified. Of course, Barack Obama, never in the history of man, or the history of the United States, rather, has denigrated that office more than this man. Yeah. Bill Clinton was the real star. Even Jimmy Carter held the office to a little more esteem than Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama totally just smashed what was left of it.
Yeah, but the problem with that Republican point of view is that's what's been causing us to lose all these elections, man. We had Mitt Romney. Anytime you have to tell any of these clowns running for Republican president, and it's funny how we can just jump on the bandwagon, jump on the bandwagon and say, oh, yeah, he's got him. Oh, he sound honest. Oh, I like one thing he said. I'll vote for him. Man, we got a great, this guy must almost be it to a point where we got to get some real radical people in there that call a liar and a spade, and that same Republican point of view about not mudslinging John McCain, he started that nonsense. Anytime, you know they're pretty bad, anytime the advisors had to tell Mitt Romney, man, why aren't you, even Donald Trump said it, why are you calling this Barack Obama guy a nice guy? Man, you're going to have to get away from that if you plan on winning some election. We got to tell all these crooks, man, and where these advisors come from? They'd be advising the Republican Party.
Yeah, these are the advisors that need to go away. And these are the Karl Roves and the middle-of-the-road guys who are too politically correct to win an election, and that's what's going to kill us.
Yeah, we have to be very smart in the information war and counter the propaganda that's leveled against us.
Yeah. Well, great call, Walter. I appreciate it, and don't wait so long to call back and talk to us again.
I know. I get busy sometimes. Hey. I can call whenever I can, maybe other
Hey, Walter,
maybe
real quick,
or whatever.
Real quick, Gary, before you go on to the next call. Walter, just real quick, and I mentioned this earlier, doesn't it drive you totally insane in Dearborn, for example, when the Muslims are jumping around in excitement, celebrating after 9/11, but at the same time, they're the very first to claim that, no, that wasn't bin Laden, that's an un-Islamic act to do that. It's like, how are you celebrating an atrocity and at the same time claiming it's un-Islamic?
That's a part of that Kofar stuff, man, and that's a part of that.
They
you know,
can deceive.
Being political, they believe in lying and deceiving.
Yeah. Well, great.
And,
well, thanks for the call, Walt. I appreciate it. And we got them starting to line up here, and we got to get through the calls. Okay. So take care, and we'll talk to you again.
Take care.
Okay, see you later.
All right, so Derek, I want to run part of this track. Look for me, and I'll stop you when it gets too much because we got to keep rolling through. This is part of Hannity's interview with Anjem Chowdhury, who is a jihadist Islamic supremacist who believes that Sharia should rule the world. Let's play that.
You want worldwide a law to be in every country that you cannot criticize the prophet. Is that accurate?
Well, we want the Sharia, and the Sharia says that this is completely prohibited.
Okay, and to you, I want short answers. To you, this is the true Islam. This is Islam.
Well, of course.
No criticizing the prophet.
Of course.
Okay. And those that are apostates, that once were Muslim but convert to, say, Christianity, you believe that those people should die, right?
Well, I believe that if
that
it
the
is proven... And in a Sharia court, they are found guilty of apostating. Then
can you ever get a straight answer from these people?
Is death, in your view, you're agreeing. And infidels,
well, this is correct, yes.
Non-Muslims, they should die as well, right? They must abide.
No, nobody said that. Nobody said that.
But the Quran says, take neither Christians or Jews for your friends. The Quran says that.
The Christians and Jews can live side by side with the Muslims as they did in the heart of Europe for over 800 years in Andalusia.
Okay,
we're
but
not
infidels,
saying that the Muslims need to be killed.
What about jihad against infidels and holy war?
Well, jihad is either to defend the life, honor, and property of Muslims, which is called jihad dafa, defensive jihad,
right.
Or it is to remove the obstacles in the way
Next
of implementing
question.
The Sharia. Outside of the frontiers of the Islamic State.
Let's talk about rights of women under Sharia, which you said you want worldwide. Should every woman, should they be mandated worldwide that they must cover themselves?
Well, we believe that either you abide by the criteria which is set out by
so
God and
yes.
How much you should cover your own body, or, you know, the people would decide for themselves according to their own whims and desires.
I want people to know what you think true Islam is.
We believe that it should be determined by divine law.
Okay, short answers. Yes, these are yes. Question. So women should cover, yes, right? Okay. All women,
well, men and,
all
men
women
and,
worldwide.
Men and women should cover.
All right, no bikinis
all
for anybody. No bikinis
cover, yes.
For anybody.
This is what we did.
Okay, I got it. All right. Adultery.
You know, what they do in their home is one thing, but not in the public.
Not
arena.
In the public, no. Got it. Adulterers, women that commit adultery, you're okay with them being stoned to death?
Men and women who commit adultery, for which there is sufficient evidence, for example, four eyewitnesses who saw the actual
but that's only
you know,
for,
issue taking
that's
place.
Only for men.
Will
that's
be,
only
will
for
be
women.
Tried in a court. No, it's for both men and women.
Mm. So adultery, the penalty for adultery should be death.
For both men and the women who
and what
are
about gays and lesbians? Should they be killed
well,
as well?
Well, if someone likes someone of the same gender, it's one thing. But if they are committing the act of sodomy and there are witnesses, then that
die.
As well carries.
They should die.
Punishment.
That's good.
Okay.
That carries
capital punishment.
Okay, so there you go. It doesn't get any simpler. That is a true believer of Islam. He's taking it right out of the Quran. He's following Sharia, wants to push his values on everybody in the world. Christians and Jews, you can live and pay your tax. I can't remember the name of the tax, but you have to live
extortion.
Yes, you have to live by those rules or you could die. So all you gays and lesbians, anyone who's of that persuasion in this country, you better start paying attention. All you women in this country, all you feminists, for crying out loud, stand up and be counted for, because if this Sharia comes to this country, you'll be wearing a hijab or a burqa. So stand up and stop protecting these people, because it's nonsense.
And this whole thing about witnesses... Basically, I mean, come on. We know what the reality is on the ground. If you're a woman, you're guilty until proven innocent based on an accusation from your husband, your brother, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
But the man, I believe, has to have the four witnesses against him.
Yeah.
And I don't think that happens.
I mean, for you to put up with that kind of nonsense, I mean, I'm just amazed that there isn't a general uproar from every woman. Now, half this country are women. Why isn't there 150 million people in this country screaming at the top of their lungs saying, this is nonsense, this is an outrage, these female circumcisions, the burqas, the whole nine yards, the stoning of women because they drove a car when they're not allowed to? Real quick, I put up on The Drift today, there's a man who blogged in Saudi Arabia some anti-remarks about Islam and Muhammad. 1,000 lashes, they've got him in prison, they give him X number of lashes at a time, and then they wait for them to heal, and then they're going to give him some more. I don't know how many lashes you can get before they have to stop. But 1,000 lashes because he was critical of Muhammad in a blog. What kind? This is not. How moderate is Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, we're the bad guys because we hold some of these people at Guantanamo, for example.
Hey, we're not whipping
and
people.
We're not whipping them. We're holding them there, and they probably had the best health care
in
the world down there.
They are whipping this man's back with the lash so badly they have to stop. Give him weeks or months to heal, and then do it again. Don't talk to me about Guantanamo. What in God's name are you people thinking that there's something wrong with a little minor waterboarding of two or three guys?
Yeah, do you see a double standard?
If it saved thousands of lives.
Do you see a double standard there from not only the Islamic world, but our liberal press?
From our liberal media. From MSNBC, from CNN.
From our allies?
From our allies. Are you kidding me? How can you even talk about... People,
there's no comparison.
There is no comparison. There is no torture going on at Guantanamo Bay. Torture is giving 1,000 lashes to a guy. He passes out. They have to repair him.
Who committed no
violence. More lashes.
He stated an opinion.
He stated his opinion, and he gets 1,000 lashes. That outrages me. And every human, if you have a feeling body in your bones, if you care about your children, because that could be your son or daughter who made a critical comment about Muhammad or about Islam, and he gets 1,000 lashes.
Now, some guys are into 1,000 lashes, but, you know, you can pay for that on your own.
Well, I like a woman with eyelashes. No, I'm kidding. All right. Well, in response to this, we've seen how the liberals and even Barack Obama in the White House is responding to this. They didn't go to the unity rally in March, and they kind of admitted that they weren't, but we were busy. We couldn't really go to that. So what is the Barack Obama foreign policy? It's sending John Kerry over to the French a week later.
Jean Kerry.
And what... This is...
Oh, Trish, you speak French.
You've got a friend in John Kerry. Do we have that track? this is John Kerry. He sends John Kerry over with James Taylor, the old singer. I don't even think he can sound very good at his age anymore. God bless him.
Spring,
but
summer,
this is foreign policy. Go ahead. Let's play that. And it's a classic video. You got to go to the website and see it, because the look on John Kerry's face as he fawningly looks at James Taylor playing this music, it's disgusting.
We need to hear Sneaker Pimp's Six Underground instead. How touching.
Isn't it?
And
Gary, come dance with me.
And you need some love and care. And nothing, oh, nothing is going right. Just close your eyes and think of me. Yes, and soon I will be there.
I can't.
All right, turn it off. I can't stand it either.
Just close your eyes and bury your head in the sand.
In what world do we live in when foreign policy is sending James Taylor to your country as an apology to do this? Am I wrong? Is there something wrong with me to be upset about this?
Again, it just goes back to the incredible overall stupidity of everything, from the denigration of the White House and the presidential office, to our foreign policy, to the reset button, to it just goes on and on and on. And this is the latest example.
Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy. Let's take a call from Jimmy, who's been waiting patiently online, too. Jimmy, welcome to the show. What do you think about John Kerry taking James Taylor to France to sing a song as part of our foreign policy?
Yeah, that's the question you want to ask me, really?
I want to hear you.
This couldn't be more ridiculous.
Am I wrong?
You know what? This is like a Saturday Night Live skit.
Yes.
And even that would be preposterous. You'd look at it and go, that's not even funny because it's so stupid. Yeah. But it's reality.
It's totally ridiculous. Like, the man is a jackass. I mean, so, and he makes the United States look like a jackass. He does. I mean, that's just the way it is, and it doesn't matter. We're not like that,
it does matter, though.
If you want to look at it, if you really want to take something like that, take a look at that for a second, and say, "Well, okay, that makes us look like a jackass." Well, you know, indicting everyone that lives in Dearborn as a jackass is wrong, too. Because some of those people are really good people.
No,
that
I agree.
Just want to live their lives and be left alone. And they want to come out here and they want to buy lambs from us and they want to do business with us. They want to sell us gas, porno.
But Gary and I have never said that everybody in Dearborn is
yeah.
Like, we're clear to say the opposite.
Yeah, we prefaced that early in the show.
We didn't say everybody in Dearborn.
Because, I have a friend who's married to an Albanian Muslim, and they are nowhere even close to being what these Muslims are.
But there's a lot, and if you're celebrating the attack in 9/11, then yeah, no, you fit in the category of
and around the world. I'm not saying I'm sure there were thousands of people in Dearborn who were as appalled as you and I were about those 9/11. But there was some, Jimmy in Dearborn who were doing that. We saw it on the news too. So yes, but we're not condemning because I love everybody. Kind of.
I have a good friend that works for a garbage company where they actually wrote on the garbage cans, "I'm going to get you, trash man." Actually wrote that.
That's terrible.
On their garbage cans that these people picked up every day, and you know there are bad people there. But the idea that they're, you know, going to instill Sharia law on us is ridiculous. We have got to continue to promote the Constitution of the United States and explain that we as Christians or Jews or God knows what, whatever, you cannot instill your religion on anyone else because the First Amendment says that you cannot do it.
Yeah. But so, here's the thing, though, Jimmy.
That's why they're at war with us.
At some point, when 80% of the population in Dearborn becomes people who believe in Sharia,
then it's a no-go zone.
And it becomes a no-go zone, they will change the laws on the books in that area. Now, they may be. There may be a lawsuit brought against them, but the average person is probably going to succumb and say, you know what, I'm moving out of Dearborn because I don't agree with it. And in the end, you now have a Sharia-minded
like
Dearborn.
You know, it's like the federal laws, this is an example, the federal laws state that marijuana is illegal, right? Period. Yep. Yet, there's kind of like no-go zones in states and cities that have said, the hell with you, federal government. We don't care about the laws on the books. We're going to do what we're going to do.
Yeah. And I think
how is that any different?
Doesn't have, you're comparing apples and oranges.
No. Because if you have a Muslim no-go zone, they're going to do what they're going to do, just like a city or a state violating federal law in this case is going to do what they're going to do.
They're not violating federal laws. They're not violating state laws. They're not violating anything.
Yeah.
They can have whatever they want.
Well,
they can't have Sharia law. That's right. What I'm saying.
Well, that's another show.
You can't have a Sharia no-go zone.
It's we got to wrap this up.
And say they're not violating laws.
We got to wrap this up, gentlemen. I'm glad that Jimmy, let's pick this up next week or the week after cuz I'm sure we're going to see more of it and we'll go from there. But in the meantime, go to thedailydrift.com and stay abreast of the information and tune in next Saturday. See you then.
Call back.
On the hill, the stuff was laced with kerosene, but yours was kitchen clean. Everyone stopped to stare.